He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. It is Friday, the 26th of September, and the market likes the inflation reports and the news overnight. And we've got a bit of a rally going on in the market with the Dow doing best. The Dow's up 313 points right now, which is 70 basis points. I'll have to look at which stock is driving it. I'm thinking it's Boeing. The Dow is at 46,259. The NASDAQ is up just a scant 16 right now. A little sell-off in Bitcoin and the crypto stocks this past week. And the AI, which is a little bit overheated right now. The S&P 500, meanwhile, is up 29 points. That's 44 basis points. The Russell 2000 is up 15. It was down this morning. Maybe that was a misprint on Yahoo Finance, but it is up now a little bit. It's up 60 basis points. Meanwhile, over at the bond market, the 10-year is stubbornly high, 4.18%. I thought maybe that PCE cool number would send it down a little bit, but it didn't. It's at 4.19. Gold is at 3,789, has been hitting new highs all year. It's just below its all-time highs. Crude oil's got a little lift underneath it right now with all the world turmoil, and there's plenty of that, $65.56. The crypto Bitcoin is down 1,600. That's quite a sell-off here recently in Bitcoin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this Friday, September 26th, and the last day of the quarter is going to be on Monday, and that's when the books of corporate America close for the quarter. Most of the companies, a few have an odd year end, and maybe their quarter closes November 1st, but most close on September 30th, and that whole earnings parade. Get ready. They're getting warmed up. They're getting in line, right? The elephants, the lions, the tigers, the bears, the bulls, etc., will be coming around that corner here in a couple of weeks here. And the earnings parade, the last one of the year, 2025, will begin soon. In the meantime, we've got a little rally, as I said, in the market today after a pretty decent sell-off yesterday. And I think it's mostly the Fed that is causing the sell-off. And, of course, you can also point to valuations on the market, which I've been saying for some time now. And in fact, last Friday we hit a 20-year high on some of the valuation measures, some of the lesser looked-at valuation measures, price-to-book value, price-to-sales. But price to earnings, which is probably the most common valuation measure, is also pretty high right now, and you have to keep that in the back of your mind. Okay, we've got a lot going on in the world today, and in sectors of the market, especially the pharmaceutical drug sector. Rate cut uncertainties remain with Jerome not doing us any good, not helping at all by talking down the market, how high it is, how richly priced it is, the fear of inflation, and at the same time, seemingly weakening labor market. But we always begin with world events. There's a couple of big ones today that caught my eye. Iran signs a deal with Russia to build 7 or 8 nuclear power plants. And any time you mention the word nuclear between Iran and Russia, I think we would, number one, we would think twice about bombing Iran again, which we did. We took out a lot of their nuclear enrichment facilities. But now they're calling in Big Brother, Russia. So that's my Ezekiel 38 update for the day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you go to the Old Testament and read Ezekiel chapter 38, which I think will have relevance at some point in the future, hopefully not anytime soon. But we have to always keep an eye on that. And the other issue is NATO is ready to shoot down any Russian jets. What happens if NATO shoots down a Russian jet? Is that World War III? Maybe Martin Armstrong's prediction, Barry, which we heard again while we were in the Silicon Valley from one of the folks we met with. He's predicting World War III. That's what his Socrates computer is saying. He spent 11 years in prison honing that machine after running quite a Ponzi scheme.
But it's still out there.
Martin Armstrong has a lot of followers, believe it or not, but the EU ready to shoot down a Russian jet? Don't you dare cross into Poland. And EU leaders are discussing a drone wall in the sky. Okay, so that's good for the drone makers. Oil slipped a little bit, but it's headed for its biggest weekly gain in 3 months on geopolitical tensions. So, you know, nowhere does the state of the world and the geopolitical tension show up more than in the oil markets. And they have been rising, but, you know, and any oil rally has not followed through here. It's been a terrible sector to be invested in. And then there's one last one here, breaking news that Trump is saying, I think we have a Gaza deal. And, of course, his emissary there, Witkoff, has spent a lot of time trying to work out a Gaza deal. That's the impossible one, right? That goes back to the times of Ezekiel, Barry. What do Trump and Ezekiel have in common? They both have seen the trouble in the Middle East. And, of course, Trump did do the Abraham Accords. Maybe he can pull off something in Gaza, which is not easy.
Been now, a lot of negotiations in that part of the world over I'll the say, years, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes. And then let's not forget, we have one more thing to worry about over the weekend. And I do think it has something to do with the correction in the market, the threatened government shutdown. The government has directed federal agencies to prepare for mass firings. There goes the labor market. If the government shuts down on October 1st, Barry, when's October 1st? That's Tuesday, right?
No, okay. It's Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday.
That's when the funding will expire.
Yeah, Wednesday.
And both sides, I mean, the Democrats and the Republicans, are their feet is in the – they're not moving. They're not budging. And that's just something else to worry about. And I'll give you one more if that's not enough to worry about. Not only your SEC team playing this weekend on Saturday, whatever your college team is, your pro team's on Sunday, the MLB playoffs, but Trump's 100% drug tariffs send pharma stocks lower. Not all of them, but the ones that that manufacture their so your AstraZenecas, any of your European, Novo Nordisk, GlaxoSmithKline, Takeda Pharmaceutical, Bayer, Sanofi, Novartis, which is a Swiss company, those stocks are under pressure here today. Lilly actually is up today, however, because they just announced that they're going to manufacture in Houston, right? They're going to manufacture their Zepbound drug in Houston. TikTok. You know, I'm kind of surprised. I thought that thing would be worth, I don't know, if I were to just run a number in my head, 75 to 100 billion, but it's 14 billion is what the deal is coming in at. Which, really, that's not even a mid-cap. That's a small cap.
Right?
That's a small cap.
It's just for the American piece of the business.
Okay.
Correct?
I mean, all right. So it is a private company. BDNCE is kind of the moniker that they use there for TikTok. But I was kind of surprised at that valuation. Oracle seems to be the big beneficiary of the TikTok deal. They're going to be the steward over the algorithms. They're going to babysit. They're going to be the custodian, I guess
right.
you could say.
Of the data.
Yeah. Of the algorithms to make sure that there's no spy software in there or algorithms that would lead to spying. Well, okay, and if you do the math, Dan Ives estimates that TikTok was worth around $100 billion. That's what I was thinking, $100 billion overall, but I guess this U.S. version, $14 billion. Trump's executive order provides a 120-day window to complete the deal. What's unclear is if China will approve the deal. Now, when we come back, which companies will be affected most by this new HB1 deal? What's really going on with the U.S. economy? We're seeing cross currents there. And is Costco entering into soggy territory? More on that when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back to the second segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, we were in that Silicon Valley last week, and since then, this HB1 is pretty or H1B, I'm sorry, visa deal is pretty controversial, Barry, and it will have a major impact. The new $100,000 H-1B visa application fee has sparked debate on the need for STEM professionals in the U.S. and how they contribute to the economy. Some argue that the H-1B visa program takes away jobs from native workers and lowers their wages. Others believe H-1B holders complement U.S. workers and fill employment gaps in STEM fields. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang and OpenEye CEO Sam Altman have backed Trump's move. Others are more skeptical. Gary Tan, CEO of startup accelerator Y Combinator, said the new fee will not bother the big tech, but it kneecaps startups. Okay, Barry, there's a few startups out there in the and across the country. He says that this current policy outcome equals a massive gift to every overseas tech hub. In the middle of an AI arms race, we're telling builders to build elsewhere. Here's the biggest employers of H-1B workers. Number one is Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
10,044. TCS, 5,505. Who's TCS? Do a little Google search on TCS. I know who it is, and I can't think of it right now. Microsoft, 5,189. Meta, 5,123. Apple, 4,202. Google, 4,181. Now, we met, obviously, with a lot of folks from India last week, and we had just such a good time talking with the folks. I don't know how many. I would imagine that most are citizens now by now, and I don't know if we met with any H-1B. I'm sure we could find out, Barry. That one guy we met with that runs the M&A company, he would certainly have a handle on that. Would be an interesting. He'd be an interesting guy, in fact, to have on the show because he works with startups and does M&A activity with them. Okay, what's really going on with the U.S. economy? We're getting a lot of mixed signals. You're our chartered financial analyst. I have a perspective on the U.S. economy, and I'm going to see what you think of my perspective. We had GDP of 3.8%. The market's hitting all-time highs. Inflation is cool. The tax situation is set in place, and the trade has been tilted in the direction of U.S. workers and U.S. factories. I think the economy is pretty darn good. What do you say, Barry? You can disagree. I don't care.
No, I mean, I think it's got a lot of, tailwind to the economy, particularly some of the stuff that's harder to harder to quantify, right? In terms of less more deregulation, just more business friendly environment, right? A lot of these influx of investment that these different companies have have said they're going to do, right? At some point that that helps. Keep pushing thing, I think, from the tax policy, right? Having that is going to give a shot in the arm to the economy kind of in the first quarter of 2026 in terms of potential retail spending. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why GDP should remain, pretty strong going forward, not to mention a lower rate environment as well.
Yeah, I understand that different sections of the world, of the country, are ebb and flow. And it's all I can say. We went to the Silicon Valley there, and we went out to dinner one night at a little area that was pretty neat. At little area, was there a parking place in that area? There was about five restaurants. I had to slip the guy a 20 to park my car, and we went to Fleming's, which was the only place we could get into. Was there an empty seat in there, Barry?
No, there was an empty seat in the whole in that whole complex.
Were wine glasses being clinked together and toast being made, and was there a buzz inside of there? And when we drove by the Apple complex, there was a buzz all around that. When we went to Alexander's Steakhouse in, Cupertino, right by Apple, that people were spending the bucks and eating the cotton candy for dessert afterwards. I didn't see the economy suffering at all there in the Silicon Valley. Now, obviously, it depends on where you go. But also, like you said, I mean, we've had massive investments coming, announced by Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, OpenAI, Meta, Lilly, and, that hasn't even kicked in yet. So anyways, I'm not seeing a weak economy myself. And here in the Charleston area, I would say this, though, economies that depend upon tourism, I don't think tourism was as good this year as it normally is. But, we have a place here in Isle of Palms called Wild Dunes. That place was packed every weekend, Barry. It's all I know.
Right.
But I did hear a little bit of grumbling from some of the downtown restaurants that tourism was. And we're not the number one tourist destination anymore here in Charleston. We've been replaced by somebody, maybe Orlando. I don't know. But maybe that was down. But I'm seeing strong GDP. The weakening labor market seems to be the one thing they point to these days. Okay, perky stocks. Intel. Intel has really perked up. It broke out yesterday. Well, they've got kind of a backstop, I suppose, with an investment from the U.S. government.
And NVIDIA and among
and
others.
NVIDIA and Jensen Huang's money. And Tesla continues to break out. Very perky. It gets a street-high target price from Wedbush today to $600. Barry, I'm almost thinking, it belongs in our ultra-growth portfolio. That thing will go up $100 and down $100 a share.
Yeah,
just like that.
It's got some volatility, for sure.
I don't think it belongs in the premier growth just because of the dang volatility of the thing. But Wedbush is calling out the AI opportunity with Tesla. Because I don't think the opportunity is the electric vehicles anymore.
No, it's certainly not the car.
Right? No. So there's the issue I have. And I don't know how much of that AI is in the stock, Tesla. Seems to me like a lot of it is private in the private part of Tesla, where SpaceX and others and the brain connections and everything, Neuralink. And then last thing I would say here, speaking of the Apple campus, which is absolutely beautiful. I would love to just walk through there, have lunch in the cafeteria, blah, blah, blah. But they are seeing a solid start to the iPhone 17 sales. I'm in the market for a new phone, and I'm thinking maybe the i17 Pro, Bill, is made for Bill. It's got my name on it. We'll see. I'll be the guinea pig. But meanwhile, the Apple stock, not all that perky.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I called it, Barry. It is Boeing that is leading the Dow higher. And I've never seen a week or 2 weeks like Boeing has had. I mean, somebody's making some big commissions over there. Maybe it's Trump. I don't know. It's Turkish Airlines, China, Kazakhstan.
Everybody gets a plane.
Norwegian Air Shuttle. Where are they going to put them? I guess they'll figure it out. That's a good problem to have. Because when I drive by that thing, it's like, wow, where are they going to put another plane to deliver? They better get the deliveries going there. Right. Now, I want to mention something here. Don't forget, there's a couple of big contractors that Boeing uses. One is named Rolls-Royce. Those jet engines, R-Y-C-E-Y, which now trades on the, there's an ADR for it now, Barry. It used to just be on the pink sheet. So, you know, that's a very viable stock. It's not that expensive. And they also have a hand or two in the nuclear business. And they're opening a nuclear facility here in South Carolina. Number two, let's not forget GE Aerospace, which has been hitting new highs. And these two, of course, are the engines, the spare engines, the engine maintenance services for the planes, etc. And then there's a third one, Francis Safran, which I've looked at before. It's a pretty good company. It was the number one ranked stock in the app here for a while. S-A-F-R-Y. It's French, and it does trade on the pink sheets, but it trades heavy volume. So anyways, Erdogan's visit, he leaves after signing a deal for, I don't know, it was quite a few airplanes. So anyways, that Boeing parking lot and all that clutter around our airport, it's all one big complex. If you've ever been to the Charleston airport, man, that thing is growing. They're adding a whole other giant parking garage. We're becoming like the Charlotte airport. Not quite that big. But when you add the Boeing presence right next to it and really integrated with the airport, it's massive. Okay, this is just my opinion. But I'm seeing it eventually, great stocks become soggy. Stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. Okay, so, you know, look, I mean, Walmart is not building a store in every town anymore. They've pretty much saturated the market, right? Okay, Starbucks would enter into that. Procter & Gamble would enter into that. They've been soggy for quite some time. And I'm going to make a bold statement here that's not going to be popular with a lot of people because everybody seems to love Costco. I think it's becoming a single-digit grower, maybe 8%, somewhere in that range. That's not a good chart there on Costco. Costco is breaking its support level today. Down at 920. It's been as high as 1,100. So it's down a couple hundred points off of its high. That works out to about an 18% sell-off in Costco. Who knows? Maybe it'll show up on the relative value
portfolio. Yeah, show up on the radar there, maybe.
But a retail box bricks and mortar retailer trading at 52 times earnings. I'm not so sure that's sustainable. When you're growing by 8 to 10%, let's call it, okay, 8 to 10%. The forward P.E. ratio is 47. And so you say, why is Target trading at 8 or 9 and Costco? Well, number one, there's something in the market called goodwill, right, Barry? It's something you can't quantify. Okay, there's a lot of, there was a lot of goodwill in Chipotle stock. Just the name, the popularity, there's a lot of will in Tesla stock because of the name Elon Musk. There's a lot of goodwill there. You know, it's something you can't quite quantify. And it can go the other way. Sometimes.
And it's got a bit of a cult following, too.
Yes.
We GameStop, spend there regularly.
Right?
Yeah, we spend, I should buy stock in it. Unfortunately, I just spend there.
Yes, there's a lot of goodwill in Gunderson Capital because of Bill and Barry. You know, that's the goodwill portion in that balance sheet that you can't
quantify. The stock is down 14% from its 52 week high, and I mean that's not a great looking chart for sure.
No, to me it's soggy. All lower caps. When it gets to upper cap soggy, it's Johnson & Johnson, it's Procter & Gamble, it's Kimberly-Clark. Those are all upper caps, S-O-G-G-Y. But I'm going to give Costco lower cap soggy right now. It's not the end. They're going to open 35 new stores, but for a company that size...
I mean, it could show up on the in the old relative value spot,
but not at 52 times PE.
No,
it's got to get down in the 30s or something. Okay, and I mentioned Intel, how it's surging as investment news bubbles, and the PC market is stronger than expected. You know, people are up. You just have to upgrade your PCs now. Can a company get rid of it, shake its sogginess off? Yes. We've seen some great examples. GE went from being a very soggy stock to a very relevant stock. Intel seems to be in that kind of a transformation. I'm going to give you another one to keep an eye on, and I added it to my daily watch list. Cisco shows off new software to connect quantum computing cloud. Okay, right? I mean, Cisco made their fame, their name, their claim to fame was the telephone networks.
Networking, yeah, the switches.
Now, quantum cloud. And who else has become relevant lately again? Oracle, right? It had entered lowercase soggy territory, and all of a sudden, no, it's relative again. GE is big time relative again. It has it crossed that a long time ago with the spinoff of GE Vernova. But I'm just
I've seen some use cases recently for IBM even on the on the AI front. I'm trying to remember what it was that I saw. I wanted to say it may have been in the athletics market. I'm trying.
Yeah,
to
and a little bit of quantum too for IBM and Cisco definitely. So I'm going to keep my eye. But you know, I mean, it's a low single digit grower, but it showed some promise here. Their last quarter, their earnings were up 14%. That's the best quarter they've had in a long time. There's not stupid people working at Cisco. I mean, this was one of the great companies, one of the great stocks. Of all time. I remember the powerhouse. And, of course, it's headquartered in San Jose, California. We never did see their headquarters. I never did see it. We probably might have driven right by it and not even noticed it. I think I have seen it off the 101 freeway. Let's keep an eye on Cisco. Maybe they can become relevant again. They've got some pretty good management over there. And they're starting to get into the right areas of the market now. So, anyways, never count one of these big guys down and out. They're now talking quantum, and they're now talking the cloud and computing. Those are all the buzzwords. Okay, another one, Perpetua Resources. Rare earth stocks continue to be on fire. Perpetual Resources is one I've talked about, PPTA. They're in talks with Glencore, which is one of the biggest basic material companies in the world. And Perpetua PPTA has got some rare earth exposure, okay? But what's the number one rare earth stock in the world today? Well, it's in the app. I own a few shares, okay? It's a pink sheet stock. It's Zijin Mining. Never heard of it, right? It's Hong Kong listed. You might wake up a little bit when you hear that it's got a valuation of $100 billion. Now, we've heard that 80% of the rare earth comes from China. Well, this is the company, Zijin Mining, Z-I-J-M-F. I'll bet Chairman Xi's got a few shares in this thing. But it's had a blistering rally. You can look up a chart on Yahoo Finance, Z-I-J-M-Y. There's two versions, or Z-I-J-M-F. You want some exposure to rare earth? There you go. And nuclear remains hot. When we come back, when we haven't talked about for a while, but they're getting a deal worth 1.1 gigawatts of gas and nuclear technology. We'll be right back. You got to go where you want to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I do see that the NASDAQ has gone negative, down 59 right now. And I did draw, as I always do, every time you hit a peak and start to roll over a little bit, I draw a line like it was the top, Barry. You could look at my chart. You see just a little short line there up at 23,000 almost. And in my mind, I say, was this the top? And that was the title of last week's newsletter. Look, the NASDAQ, believe it or not, let's just review this for a moment. On April the 8th, it bottomed. The day of my article, the NASDAQ was 14,784. Okay? 14,784. And on earlier this week, it was Monday, I want to say, the NASDAQ hit an all-time high of almost 23,000. That is a 50% move, if you do the math. No, not quite, not quite. But 40% plus move in the NASDAQ from 14,784 to the ultimate top, there it is, 20, it closed at 22,788 on Monday. It might have been Friday of last week. That's a heck of a move by any measure, okay? So, that's in the 40% range. When I say top, I don't believe that we've reached the ultimate top in the bull market that began in 2008 and 2009, because the earnings expectations still look good for the next few years. But you also have secondary corrections within primary trends. If you look at the primary trend, if you pull up a chart and set your start date at 2009, do the NASDAQ, and your end date of today, okay, 16 years, you're not going to see a leveling off yet. You're not going to see a downtrend, but you'll see lots of secondary corrections within that primary uptrend. Barry knows all this lingo now. I'm sure it came up a lot in getting, there were a lot of questions on the test, the CMT test. I just know it from 25 years of looking at charts. Okay, so let's assume that that was the top there. It would be a correction. It would, that means it would be ready for a correction. In this, you'd get a secondary correction within this primary uptrend, you know, which could take it down to the 20,000 area or something like that.
And can be, is, I mean, for markets, it's actually, you know, healthy, can be healthy having those pullbacks and, you know, test some kind of support level, right? And then continue to grind higher, you know, makes for a healthier market than something that's just going straight up,
yes.
You know, the entire
And if
time.
We were to pull back right now, there's pretty good support at 21,000. Okay, so that's 1,200 points below where we're at now on the NASDAQ, which is quite a bit. I mean, but it's 3-5%, okay? So during a time like this, you know, we've done some profit-taking. Obviously, others are doing it too, okay? Or you wouldn't have this little crest, this little peak that we recently hit. So we've raised some cash. We've cut some big winners in half. We cut some positions in half that went on a torrid run. Torrid run since April the 8th. We've sold maybe one or two that were not performing. We sold one that was underwater and was just not looking very good. It's in that buy now, pay later space, which all those stocks are not looking real good in that space right now. I'm going to send you over a chart, Barry, of Affirmed. It's breaking its little support level there.
Right.
Something to keep in mind. And then we've got, you know, the AI stocks. Okay. And the other thing that you can do is other than doing some profit taking, there's nothing wrong with the harvest. I'm glad I harvested my tomatoes when I did, because about 3 weeks later, I got hit with the fungus that killed every plant. So I was able to put up 25 jars of some good salsa before the fungus hit. Now, I don't know that the fungus is going to hit the NASDAQ, but there's definitely going to be some rounds of profit taking. And I think, as I've said before, it's the highfalutin areas that get hit first. And my number one and number two areas that I think are the most vulnerable, I'll give the top three, four. I've got four. Number one is always good old Kathy Woods. Her stuff starts to go down first because she's out there on the frontier. So Sark comes into play, which is inverse Kathy Woods. Number two, I think the real bubble is in crypto. I'm talking Coinbase, BSMR, all these ones that she's been loading up on. So if you buy Sark, you're also getting a lot of short, you know, inverse action on the crypto players, Galaxy. I mean, there's been so many crypto stocks, the coin, the miners. She's loaded up in a lot of those. Okay, so that's one and two. Number three would be Hibs. HIBS is the inverse high beta, okay? And that's the stocks that are the next ones to correct. Obviously, those that have gone up the most are those that have the most downside risk and vulnerability to profit-taking. So HIBS, HIBS, would just be one of those. And then the NASDAQ in general, PSQ or QID, which is 2X the NASDAQ. And then my fourth one, small caps are always very vulnerable in times of profit taking. And I look to inverse the Russell 2000, which 1,950 stocks, in my opinion, are junk. Junk doesn't do well during a time of profit taking or correction. And I look to RWM, which is inverse one time, the Russell 2000. If you want to double your fund, TWM. And if you want to get really crazy, TZA is triple inverse, the Russell 2000. You might want to check into this week's newsletter. We'll all be addressing this whole top topic again. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 4 free weeks of the newsletter. Is anybody looking at your portfolio on a daily basis? Set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.